Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Matthew chapter 1. And I'd like to dismiss the children to children's church at this time. So kids, you're on your way. Now, we will not have children's church next week on Christmas morning. We are having one service next Sunday morning at 10:45. We will not have our life group time. And, of course, we will not meet that night. So next Sunday morning on Christmas morning, what an opportunity to worship and praise the Lord together. And we're going to have all the children come up on that day, from the preschoolers all the way up through all the groups that have come, I think through the fifth grade. And we'll have them here at the manger scene as we look at Jesus, the purpose of Christmas. Today, Joseph and Mary, the strength and the heart of Christmas. I do want to welcome Daniel Booth here. Daniel is a brand new graduate from basic training. He's just gotten some leave. He's only been home about maybe 24 to 48, not even 24 hours, basically. And this is Greg and Soka's son. Would you stand, Danny? Could we welcome him? Man, I love it. We are so honored. We are so blessed and honored that you're here, Daniel, and we want to welcome you and thank you for your service to our country. I want to tell you today, we're moving a little closer into the manger scene. We have looked at the shepherds, we've looked at the magi, the wonder of Christmas with the shepherds when the angels just blew them out of the water and they were keeping watch over their flocks, and the angels and the glory of God shone around them. And then the magi who saw the star and they came. These were the learned men from the east. And they came having studied the scriptures. They knew that a Messiah was to be born. We're moving it in a little closer. We're going to look at Joseph and Mary, the strength and the heart of Christmas. When I think about Mary, I think about that little boy who wanted a bicycle for Christmas. And he went to his mom and dad. He said, "I want a bicycle for Christmas." And so they said, "Well, you ought to pray about it." They said, "Pray about it, and maybe you'll see something under the tree that's wrapped up that kind of looks like it may be a bicycle." And so he went to the Lord in prayer, and he said, "Lord, I want a bicycle. I want a red bicycle." And he was specific in his prayers. And so he came out the next morning. There was nothing under the tree that resembled anything that would look like a bicycle. So he went back and he prayed again, and times were getting closer to Christmas, and he got a little bit worried, but he said, "Lord, I really, really want a bicycle." And came back the next morning, no bicycle. His mom got a little suspicious when he went out to the manger scene, and all of a sudden, they had a manger scene at the house. He went out, and he grabbed Mary, and he took Mary back to the room. And So she snuck back there and was listening to the door, and this was the prayer he was praying. He said, "Jesus, I have your mother. If you ever want to see her again, get me a bicycle." So I don't know if that's the way you approach it, but anyway, I thought about Mary. I thought about that story when I knew that we were going to look at our passage today. I want you to think about what we can learn today from Joseph and what we can learn from Mary. Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." This is verse 19, Matthew 1, 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Today I want us to look at Joseph and Mary. Joseph represents the strength of Christmas. Mary represents the heart of Christmas. Now, there are four things I want you to write down in your little listening guide so that you can remember these principles. The first thing, Joseph, he showed strength of character. If you want to write another statement there in the on the lines under the word character, write this statement down. A man's integrity is his greatest asset. A man's integrity is his greatest asset. You may think it's in stocks and bonds. You may think it's in houses, maybe the business that you own. But may I tell you today, the Bible says this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Joseph was betrothed to Mary. That was binding for marriage. It was similar in some ways to what we would call an engagement period, and yet it was more binding than our engagement period that we have now. And so he was to be married, and all of a sudden she becomes great with child. Now, Joseph is an interesting fellow because he had angels appear to him four times in Scripture. In the Scriptures we just read, verses 18 through 20 in chapter 1. If you look at chapter 2, verse 13, it says, Now when they had departed, talking about the wise men had departed in verse 12, they had departed. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. We see an angel appearing to him again. And then in verses 19 and 20, it says, Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. In verse 22, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And so he had angels appearing to him like crazy. Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary, who was going to bear the Savior of the world, had angels appearing to him. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 22 through 24, it says this. This is the Old Testament law. It says, If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you. Joseph could have had her killed because she was with child before they had come together in marriage. And yet, because of the angel, he had a decision to make. Am I going to obey the Lord in this circumstance? He showed great strength of character. Now, the scripture says he was a just man. He was a man. The word just means to be straight. To be straight. It means someone who is law-abiding, upright in character, faithful to God's commands. The angel had appeared to Joseph and said, Listen, she is going to bear the Lord Jesus Christ, so do not put her away. And so he did not want to make a public example of her, and so he obeyed what the Lord said for him to do. He wanted to do what was right regardless of convenience and circumstances. This is a great model of strength in the home. God used Joseph. He obeyed God. This example is very important. The strength of Christmas. Joseph had a decision to make, and he revealed strength of character because the Bible says he was a just man. He lived life straight. Very important. Number two, Joseph, strength to protect his family. Now, under Under the first point, I had you write this phrase, a man's integrity is his greatest asset. Under number two, I'd like for you to write this down. Every family needs a sacrificial leader. Joseph showed strength to protect his family. This is the example we have at Christmas time from the life of Joseph. Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. This is another appearance of the angel. It says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So the angel's second appearance to Joseph tells him, look, you've got to protect your family. And so he decided he was going to do what the angel said, and he had strength to protect his family. Every step to Egypt meant being farther from family, farther from his business. But it was necessary for the security of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had strength of character, but he also showed something that every family needs is strength to protect his family. I think about fathers today. You may have to sacrifice to protect your family. You may have to make tough choices. I'll never forget hearing the story, actually, of a family in this church many, many years ago. If I called their name, you would know their name. An older son who was in high school came home with a bunch of friends, and they were older in high school, and they said, hey, Mom and Dad, we want to rent a condo at Crescent Beach. And we want to go over there. All of our friends are doing it from the high school, and we want to go over there. They will not let us rent it. We want you to rent it, but we want to stay in it all week. Big red flags went up. And so the boys that were with their son, they were lobbying this couple. They were saying, oh, come on, will you please do it for us? You know we're good guys. We're going to be okay. We're going to be fine. And even the boy, their son was whining and whining on them to allow them to do this. And they put their foot down. They were not popular in that moment. They put their foot down and they said, you know what? That's not something that we feel like would be a wise decision for us to make for you. Now, we'll go over there with you. Yeah, I'm sure they love that, right? They said, we'll go over there and host y'all and let you go. But they weren't interested in that. But they put their foot down, and even at that very tense moment, they made a tough decision. Do you know that later I heard the story of that young man who went back to his mom and dad and said to his mom and dad, I know I whined on you. I know I was arguing with you. My buddies were here, and they were arguing with you, but I want you to know I appreciate you taking a tough stand, because that would not have been a good situation for us. Hey, listen, strength to protect your family. I know a gentleman who turned down a huge job assignment. He turned down a very significant increase in wages, would have set him up to be in a very powerful position, but he turned it down because his children were right at the teenage years, and the children were enjoying church. By the way, Friday night, Chris Woods, he's our youth pastor and been here about 4 months, but I still call him our new youth pastor. You know, God's doing a great work through Chris. They had nearly 50 teenagers at their Christmas party. They had a great time. Well, these kids that this dad led were involved. They loved going to church. They were growing in Christ. This new place they were going to go, they didn't know if it would be have a place like that. He knew his kids were at a very crucial part of their upbringing, and so he said no to this job opportunity. Can I tell you this? I happen to know that family, and when I was a youth pastor in this church many years ago, one of those girls that was one of his daughters that was a teenager at that time came to the University of Florida, and she taught Sunday school in this church. She poured into young people, and she was very faithful. And God used her in a powerful way because she decided to live her life for Christ. And I think largely the result, listen, she had a dad who had strong character. She had a dad who was willing to make sacrifices for the family. And so I think that at Christmas time, we look at the life of Joseph. We hear so much about all the other people that are in the manger scene. But men, let me tell you something, men. God is looking for men that have strong character, that will lead their family, that will be just men, that will have character, but are also willing, sometimes as Truman said, the buck stops right here. And sometimes, men, our families need a man to say, wait a minute, no, we're going to go with God, we're going to go this way, and we're going to do it God's way. Joseph provided great strength for his family. Now, I'd like you to take your Bible and go over to Luke chapter 1. So we've looked at Joseph, and quickly I want us to look at Mary. Joseph demonstrates the strength of Christmas. Mary demonstrates to me the heart of Christmas. Mary had a heart to receive God's favor. On your listening guide, fill that one in. Number three, she had a heart to receive God's favor. And if you want to write the little phrase under it like we did on the other ones, write this down. Salvation involves yielding to God's will. Salvation involves yielding to God's will. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Great theological phrase right there. You ought to underline, highly favored one. Circle that in your Bible. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Verse 29. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Just like the little kid said, he's a king. He's a king. Verse 34. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Verse 36. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Verse 37. "For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." One of the sweetest phrases in all the Bible right here. "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary gives us the heart of Christmas. What is at the heart of Christmas? Hey, listen, we know this. It's not about presents and trees and Santa Claus and all that. As fun as all of that is that we enjoy as families, you know what the heart of Christmas is? It's about receiving Jesus Christ and being obedient to the leadership and the guidance of God's word in your life, yielding to God's will. Salvation involves yielding to God's will. We must be willing to yield to God's will. He said in that verse 28, highly favored one. That is the word to grace. God says, he says to her, "Rejoice, graced one." Rejoice, graced one. It means to make accepted. In verse 30, the scripture says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor.'" You have been favored. It's a word that means you're a recipient, not a dispenser. Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord is the one who is dispensing the favor, right? We don't deserve the favor. And Mary wrestled with this, you know. She was troubled in verse 29. It says, when she saw him, she was troubled. That's a word to mean agitated. She was concerned. This doesn't make sense. And the Bible says that she contemplated these things. She considered what manner of greeting this was. She contemplated. Can I tell you this? When Jesus comes to you and he seeks you out, and he does, by the way, you may be here today and you're wondering, why in the world am I in this service today? How did I get in this service today? Let me tell you, God is after you. God is after mankind. He has always been after mankind throughout all of history. God seeks mankind. He loves mankind. He has provided a sacrifice for mankind. And can I tell you this? He's after you. I see it with hindsight in my life. I see how God used people to come after me. I see the wooing of God to come after me. Oh, and it's a wonderful thing to think that the God of this universe is after us. Well, he was after Mary. And this is a picture of salvation. She considered it, and I want you to consider it. Do you realize that Jesus is after you? Do you realize that he's after you for you to have salvation, for you to be saved, for you to know him and have a relationship with God? Listen, you may build 1,000 businesses. You may have the greatest itinerary of all of life and go to places that no one's ever been. Boy, there's so many places I want to go. I've been to some places, thank the Lord. I'm excited that I've been to some places, some wonderful places. But there's some places I've never gone and probably never will be. I know I'll never see those places. You can build 1,000 businesses. You can have the greatest itinerary. You can have the biggest bank account. But can I tell you this? What is it like to lay your head on the pillow at night and know this? You have a relationship with the God of this universe. Can I tell you this? In light of all eternity, that's what matters. I just thought of something. Kelly and I watched recently a little video of Johnny Erickson Tata, the lady that's a paraplegic. She was hurt in the diving accident. I may have shared this with you, but she sings a little song talking about heaven. And it's that song, and I want us to do this, Robert. I want us to do this because don't get me involved in it because I will cry through the whole thing. But the song is "No More Night." You know that song? No more night, no more pain. Amen. No more tears, never crying again. Can I tell you this? Life is tough. Amen. Hey, listen. 1990. I was 30 years old, and my mother said to me, "Calvin, I've got cancer." And so we went to the doctor. I took her, and the doctor saw her. She had not gone to the doctor. She was of the opinion. She used to say jokingly, she said, "Calvin, if I go to the doctor, I'll be dead in 6 months." She was an old school person like that. We kept wanting her to go. She lived several precious years. But hey, I buried my mother. Some of you have done that. That was not an easy day. There have been difficult days. When I was 15 years old, my dad died of lung cancer. And as a teenage boy, I remember laying awake in my aunt's house, scared to death to be alone in the dark. I can tell you that. Because my dad had died, and I didn't know what life was all about. I had not known Jesus yet. I don't know where else I'm going to go in this world, but I know one thing. If my life is linked with God, the creator of this universe, then one day when he comes again, there'll be no more night. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more tears. Never crying again, the song says. Praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the living Lamb, is what that song says. Sing it, brother. We got to have that song, and sing it right before I preach, okay? Sing it right before I preach, okay? I won't even need to study that week. No, I'm kidding. I will. Okay, so Mary had a heart to receive God's favor. Now, here is the significant point. I want you to look at verse 38. We got to go ahead. She accepts God's will. She says, behold. And here's what behold means. She said, see. She's talking to God. She says, behold. See, look at me. Look at me. I am a handmaid of the Lord, she says. And then this great phrase, let it be to me according to thy word. That phrase means I put myself at one's disposal. I put myself at your disposal. You think, boy, that'd be fearful to not be in control of my own life. I think it's more fearful to have your own destiny in your own hands than it is to say, Lord, I put my life at your disposal. You're the one that created. Hey, you think about creation. Think about the beautiful mountains. You think about the ocean. You think about, I flew over Victoria Falls one time, and they said it was like the earth breathes there because of the water that splashes up. It looks like air coming out of the earth. It's the most majestic thing I've ever seen. God created that. Hey, I can put my life at his disposal, and you can do that too. And that's what Mary did. And can I say this to you? If you're here today and you'd say, you know, I've never done that, that's the safest place in the world. The safest place in this world is to say, Lord, I'm at your disposal. That's the heart of Christmas. That's what Mary teaches us. Mary teaches us to put our lives at God's disposal. The fourth thing is Mary, she not only had a heart to receive God's favor, but she had a heart to worship the Savior. In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, we're not going to read all that, but that is a worship song that Mary sings. It's called Mary's Magnificat. It's her song. And by the way, it'd be a great Christmas series. Lord, help me figure this out. All the great songs of Christmas that are in Scripture, and there's several. You could take them week by week and focus on the different worship songs that are in Scripture related to Christmas. Well, this is Mary's. Mary had a heart to worship the Savior. I tell you, when we are led by our team here, you learn a lot about a church by the way it worships. You learn a lot about a church in the congregation by the way that it sings. If these guys are up here leading us in singing and we're just standing there, we look like we got up on the wrong side of the bed and sucked on dill pickles all morning before we got here. That is not a good thing. But when you contemplate, listen, what God has done for you, your heart wants to worship. By the way, the Christian faith is the only singing, this is a singing religion, a singing faith, because we have something to sing about. God created music. And so she shows a heart to worship. And in verse 46, it says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul, that's the immaterial part of man. Not the body necessarily, although the body can worship as well. But deep down in your heart, deep down in your soul. That's why I've never understood why people get upset about, you know, the styles of music. Listen, if the words lift up Jesus Christ and exalt him, man, I tell you what, some of the greatest worship I've ever been a part of were the great hymns of the faith. The great hymns of the faith. And then contemporary choruses that lead me to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we have an amazing blend here. But the bottom line is, worship is not dictated by what is performed. It's dictated by you on the inside, how much you worship. She says, my soul, the immaterial part of my life, I've thought this thing through. Lord, behold, see me. I'm just a maidservant, but you see me. and be unto me according to thy will. And she worships the Lord. She's basically bragging on Jesus. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord. The word magnify means to make great. Verse 48, look at this. In verse 48, he has regarded. That word regarded means to gaze. She says, behold, look at me. And let me say this, God Almighty gazed at her. To think that this God is so as busy as we think he may be, but you know, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. He gazed. He says, you have regarded. She says, for he has regarded. That word means to gaze. You have regarded my lowly estate, my sinful way. We sometimes dress up on Sunday, or we come on Sunday and we act like everything's just wonderful. Mary says, my lowly estate, my sinful ways. Hey, listen, can we just go on record as that all of us in this room are sinners? We need the grace of God in our life. And the truth be told, if you knew everything about me, every thought I've had, the things I thought and did prior to my salvation, and can I say this, even since my salvation, it would be so embarrassing. Can I be honest and tell you that? But I want you to know, he regarded and has gazed at us. And he, you know what he says? Look at me. He says, I'll take you anyway. Jesus Christ says, I'll take you anyway. I'll take you just the way you are. A great theologian was once asked, what is the greatest thought you've ever had? And he very quickly came right back with this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Can I tell you this? You don't get a whole lot more profound than that statement right there. I don't understand why he did, but he does. He loves us just the way we are. My soul magnifies the Lord. So Mary shows us the heart of Christmas. What is Christmas all about? Lord, do unto me, be it unto me according to thy will. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.